Jonathan Crowe, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Hi, Kathleen.
Now, the new season has begun, and it has a new rallying cry, Symphony with Us. And I'm wondering how you are feeling in terms of a sense of rejuvenation as the orchestra enters its second century this season.
Yeah, it's kind of, that's a long time. You know, we started the season with a piece that I guess just entered its second century, as Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. And it certainly felt kind of rejuvenated. There were so many people on stage, so many new members of the orchestra who have just joined, a great new cohort of basses, of violins, you know, other people in the orchestra too. So it's felt like a fresh new start for sure.
Yeah, well, speaking of those new members of the orchestra, you have two new associate concertmasters, Yolanda Bruno and Claire Semmes. Tell us about them.
Yeah, they're both amazing. So they will alternate sitting beside me at the front of the first violin section. The associate job basically means that you're kind of the second in command and that you're the one that's responsible. If I get sick, you have to step up and play the solos and lead the orchestra if I'm away. But it's actually one of the hardest jobs in the orchestra to do.
How's that?
Because you have to be ready to lead everything. You have to have learned all the solos, but you also have to be able to follow and to fit in and to do all of those things. And it's kind of a tough mix to figure out how to be ready to be the leader, but also to find that blend when you are in the second chair. And I got to say, both Yolanda and Claire are spectacular. They're amazing violinists. Yeah, pleasure having them there.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a little more just about each of them and what they bring to this role and to the orchestra in general.
Yeah, so Yolanda is a violinist originally from Ottawa. She studied actually with me at McGill University and then studied in London. And she has the most diverse interests of any musician I know, I think. She plays a lot of Baroque music. She plays a lot of contemporary music. She loves orchestra. She does solos. She brings this all to the orchestra. So when she's accompanying a concerto, she's probably played it. She knows it extremely well. And it means that she's just incredibly versatile in what she does. Claire is an American violinist, a little bit younger, who joined the orchestra, I think, maybe about 6 years ago. For her, I've never seen such progress. And she was an amazing violinist when she joined the orchestra. Don't get me wrong. She was great. But to see somebody continue to grow as a musician, to grow as a performer, to grow as a leader over those 6 years is extremely unusual. And she has just grown into an incredible solo violinist in her own right, but a great leader. And both of them are people that when I'm not there, I feel incredibly comfortable that they will lead the orchestra extremely well.
Well, speaking of growing, something that Gustavo Gimeno promised to do this season is to have something new or something new to the TSO on each concert. And coming up, new to the TSO is Ligeti's Violin Concerto, for which you will be soloist. What inspired you to bring this particular work to the TSO for the first time?
It's an anniversary year for Mr. Ligeti. 2023 is the 100th anniversary of his birth, so it felt like the perfect time to program it. It's a piece that I've played twice before, but not for a long time. I played it with the McGill Contemporary Ensemble probably kind of 20 and 25 years ago, so it felt like time to bring it back. It's one of my favorite pieces, actually. It's an incredibly modern piece that somehow also connects to all of those kind of historical, traditional things that we love about classical music. It's incredibly folky, incredibly virtuosic, really, really engages the orchestra in a way that I don't think any other concerto does. My colleagues are slightly upset with me because they're all practicing their parts right now and they're incredibly difficult. I mean, many of them are as hard as the solo violin part. But it all comes together into this piece which kind of captures everything. Got lots of moments of incredible virtuosity, but also when you put it all together, the kind of basic forms of the music are actually quite simple. And I think people grasp them in a way that goes kind of beneath the surface complexity.
There's an incredible soundscape, a range of soundscapes in this piece. I was just giving it a listen to refresh myself. And I'm wondering, you know, as you said, the relationship of the solo with the orchestra is quite intricate. And if you can think back to when you had to do it before, I'm wondering, how is that process putting this together with orchestra? I mean, I imagine it's quite different than doing, say, Brahms or something like that.
When I did it before, it was with the university orchestra. So we had 6 weeks of rehearsal time and we needed every minute of it. And so we will not have that same luxury, but it's a different experience when you're playing with a professional orchestra, of course. But it's a piece that I certainly have to know extremely well going in, because it's not like a concerto where the conductor can really just follow the soloist. It has to be put together in a way that we're all on the same page. And the orchestra parts are so complex that Gustavo can't just be like, well, I'll go with what Jonathan's doing. He needs to be the real boss. The soundscape, the way it comes together is really quite brilliant. So the concertmaster and principal viola are actually both in scordatura, which means they tune their instruments differently. But the way he does it, it's really incredible because it sounds out of tune compared to maybe the Western tuning system that we're used to, but it's all based on science. So when we hear it, somehow these notes resonate extremely well and they ring in a way that is perhaps superior to the Western tuning system. And it's really kind of this unusual sound that you won't hear anywhere else. And then he has the wind players play on ocarinas. Oh. So any Legend of Zelda players will be familiar with the Ocarina of Time, but the sound, when you put it together, has this great blend between the four of them.
This is a piece that might be disorienting for people who don't listen to a lot of contemporary music. I'm wondering how you would advise a listener to focus their attention, or what is it in this piece that they can grasp onto?
I would say that the surface complexity is a little bit of an illusion. If you sit back and don't try too much to follow any individual line, but try to kind of take the overall, it's actually not all that complex. Everybody that I know that's ever heard is like, wow, that's amazing. It's so effective. And we can't always understand why. It really kind of relates to people on a very base level, I think.
Amazing. And then another feature of this piece is the cadenza, which is traditionally a moment where the soloist goes off and ideally they're improvising or making it up themselves. Often it's for something pre-written, but here Ligeti actually asks you to make your own cadenza. He has not provided it. So how have you approached this?
Yeah, I mean, he's going back in time a little bit, like back to Beethoven, Mozart, when composers would just say, just play something here, and people would improvise or make it up. You know, that changed a little bit through Mendelssohn and Tchaikovsky. They started to write their own cadenzas. And so this is, you know, hearkening back to an earlier era. And the violinist who premiered it, Sashko Agarlov, wrote a cadenza from some music of Ligeti's that was intended for this concerto that never made it. At some point, there were plans for 8 movements. And so Agarlov has written a cadenza that uses some material from the piece that you'll hear, and then some material from the movements that got cut. And so what I do is I kind of take portions of that and patch it together in a slightly different way and improvise around it a little bit. It's a little bit too complicated to improvise that stuff on the spot. So when I say improvise, I mean practice extremely hard and hope that it sounds improvised.
Fantastic, Jonathan. Well, I really appreciate you taking time to prep us for the performance of this extraordinary piece and wish you all the best for your performances.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to it.